Welcome to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, here with our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson.
And I'm Ryan Dobson. And Dad, you've spent the majority of your life advocating for the institution of marriage, something that's really, it's sacred, and yet it seems to be crumbling before us today.
Mm-hmm. It does, Ryan. My heart actually grieves, and I mean this literally, over what's happening to the institution of marriage today. It's in such serious trouble, and the mainstream media and the universities and the government and the culture at large don't seem to care. They don't seem to realize how critical the family is for the well-being of the nation. I heard a new statistic just today, and it's a sad one, that the percentage of babies born out of wedlock, and this is all races combined, is now approaching 50%. Mm-hmm. And in fact, for women under 30 years of age, the percentage is above 50%. Now, you know, half the babies born in this country and in most Western nations come into the world without a father, without all the influences and all the implications of being fatherless right from the beginning. Then you add divorce to that and prison in some cases or abandonment, and you have kids growing up really without their dads. And that's just one statistic, but it's a disastrous one, and there are so many others that we could talk about. So what we're going to devote this program to today is to do what we can to strengthen marriage, and especially for those who are determined to thrive and succeed in their relationship between husband and wife. And to help us do that, we've invited new guests that I had met on one occasion before, but only briefly. And they are Steve and Liz Holt. And it is a pleasure to have you all here. Steve has written a book on marriage, and that's why they're here today. And it's good to have a chance to work with you.
Well, it's a joy to be here. Thanks for having us, Dr. Dobson.
Thank you for letting us be here.
Let me read their bio because it's very impressive. They've been married for 26 years. They met in China while working with Campus Crusade for Christ. They actually had their first date in Hong Kong and finally got married in Tokyo.
Oh, goodness. And, I want to hear about that.
Yeah. And they served the Lord together all these years. Steve is the founder and lead pastor of Mountain Springs Church here in Colorado Springs. They have over 3,000 members. Steve, three services on Sunday, is that right?
That's right.
And you speak at all of them.
I do.
You don't look worn out enough for that. And Liz, you and Steve have seven children.
We do.
Definitely don't look tired enough for that.
Some days I do.
The eldest is 24.
Eldest is 25, and 25. Youngest is 7.
Ah, well, you still got some work to do, don't you?
Yes, very much so.
Steve is also founder of Word and Spirit Network and also has his own daily radio program that's heard throughout Colorado. Steve has a master's degree in missiology from Fuller Theological Seminary, and he's also released this first book that I made reference to a minute ago called The God Wild Marriage. I've never seen a title quite like that. tell me what that means. I've been thumbing through the book, but you tell our listeners.
Well, I was going to call it Marriage Gone Wild, but I thought there might be some copyright issues and also maybe conjure up the wrong images. No, I love the word wild, because I believe it's synonymous with adventure. And you'll see the subtitle is A Roadmap to a Dangerously Fulfilling Love Life. Mm-hmm. And I believe, Dr. Dobson and Ryan, that without a dangerous perspective to taking risks in your relationship, as you grow in your marriage, you're going to become bored. You're going to become tame, and I think that's where most marriages end up. Mm-hmm. And the book is a challenge to all of us to be bold enough to keep living an adventurously dangerous love life by getting to know our partner better, God better, growing in the Word and the Spirit in the home.
Well, that has a ring to it, but what does that wildness in marriage really look like?
I think it looks like two people that are wild about their commitment, relationship with Jesus. And so I feel that when we look at especially the book is built on Ephesians chapter 5. So it starts with the Spirit-filled life. So I believe the marriage, any marriage that wants to put Christ on the throne is a marriage where it's empowered by the Spirit. And so the first chapter is about the power to be out of control. So I think wild is a good adjective for letting God have control and letting you be out of control to let God be in control through the power of His Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In my introduction to this program today, I talked about marriage and what's happening to it. Does it grieve you as well to see these young couples living together without benefit of marriage, producing children that are going to grow up in dysfunctional families, many of them, and also to be fussing and fighting with each other and so frequently wind up divorcing each other. Mm. I mean, how can a culture survive that has that as its norm almost?
Mm-hmm. Well, we live in a county where almost 60% of all marriages end in divorce. So 5 years ago with
this is a conservative city, more or less.
And this is a very conservative county and city. But 60% end in divorce in El Paso County. So we have got a big problem on our hands. But here's what's interesting. 75% of all marriages, even today, happen in a local church. So we give 75% of all marriages a chance, even before they, you know, say I do, to give them some guidance toward a biblical, Christ-centered marriage, and we're not doing it. The church is not doing its job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Luann, I think it's time that we announce that Steve's your pastor.
Absolutely.
You go to their church.
I do, and we have sat under his teaching for about 3.5 years now, and Pastor Steve, thank you. Mm. We have learned so much. In fact, we discovered you because my husband heard your radio program here locally on KGFT, and appreciated immensely how you come right out of Scripture. Every week we come away growing and learning something. And then, Doctor, obviously this resonates with me. We have a family life department. You've heard their heart already. They are here to shore up the family. This is not just talk. They are going to make sure that everything we do in our church is to build up the entire family unit.
And that's why you're here today.
That's right. It
is. I've heard about what you do, and it is impressive. And you are really trying to apply biblical principles to family life, aren't you?
We like to say we're word-rooted, spirit-alive, culturally engaged, and family-focused. And I think every one of those are important. You got to be word-rooted.
Yeah.
But you also need to be spirit-alive. We know churches that are very much in the Word, and they're dead. There's no life in them. Mm. We know churches that are very, quote-unquote, spirit-filled, and there's no foundations, and they're having all kinds of blow-ups all the time with every new revival that comes down the road. But we also need to be culturally engaged. We have a culture that's not necessarily bad, and I'm a missiologist. Culture's neutral. It's what we do with culture that makes a difference. We are what we are. We have a president right now because of where our culture is going. We have a Congress because of where our culture is going, and we have a family because of where our culture is going, but we've got to penetrate it, not run from it. So we're countercultural, but we've got to be also counterintuitive about what's happening in the culture and then family focused.
Steve, I was reading in your book that young people are delaying marriage, and one of the biggest reasons for that is essentially because they're role models, the lack of joy in their parents' marriage. They look at their parents, they're unhappy, they're not communicating, there's no intimacy, and they're saying to themselves, I don't want anything to do with this.
That is so sad to hear,
it
Ryan,
is.
And that's on our backs. You know, I think about that what kind of a role model am I providing to my kids? Do they want what I have? You know, and especially in the church, we should be we should be just the highest example of the beauty and the fellowship of marriage. And if we're failing in the church, to a degree, it's our fault, you know?
Well, you live up to that. You and Steve do. Yeah. You give your marriage the highest priority and your children.
But again, Doctor, partly the reason why is because of the parents we had. Mm-hmm. And as we were talking earlier, Pastor Steve, you just preached at my father-in-law's funeral, for which I thank you. But the legacy that he passed down on my husband's side, and then my parents married 55 years, I think it is, on my side. So we both witnessed God-honoring, vibrant, on fire for the Lord marriages. So we came in healthy, and we want to pass that on for our children. And I'm concerned that the potential spouses out there for my kids are not having that same understanding.
So, Steve, talk about that. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got couples that are going through the premarital process. You did it yourself for a long time. You've now got other pastors that are doing that. Mm-hmm. So you've got to run into a lot of kids or a lot of young adults who had terrible role models and are trying to break that cycle. How do you explain what a real marriage full of joy, a God-wild marriage that you write about, what's that look like?
Yeah. Great question, Ryan. I think that one of my favorite quotes by C.S. Lewis in his sermon, The Weight of Glory, I want to read that. It's in the book because I think it captures what we're trying to challenge. Mm-hmm. Challenge these younger people with as they look at what I would call kind of mud pies in the city kind of marriages versus a vacation at the sea. Mm-hmm. So here's the way I would say it. This is the way C.S. Lewis wrote. He said, if there lurks in most modern minds the notion that to desire our own good and earnestly to hope for the enjoyment of it is a bad thing, I submit that this notion has crept in from Kant and the Stoics and is no part of the Christian faith. Indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by an offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. So I feel like, Ryan, that we've got to create a passion for something better, for something greater than what they experienced, with a vision that they can do something that their parents didn't do because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's why Ephesians 5 is so important to me, is because Paul talks about the filling of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18, and then the whole rest of Ephesians is about marriage, family, parenting, and spiritual warfare. Mm. Amazing. So we're trying to take the vision off of the mundane and increase a vision to a mountain. This is the way it can be. Well, it doesn't have to be the way your parents did it.
Excuse me. It's your subtitle here, Steve. I mean, when you read that, I was thinking, again, it says, a roadmap to a dangerously fulfilling love life. And I know there are young couples right now listening going, yeah, right. You know, they don't even believe that it can be strong and vibrant and exciting, do they?
No. I mean, the reality is this, that I think that's true in the church. Most churches today are not presenting a spirit-filled, word-rooted, God-anointed, joyful, life-giving perspective to marriage. Mm. And so we have responsibility, and I think we're failing at the watch. And that's why we wrote this book, is I think it should be wild. I think it should be fulfilling. But it's not just in the first 2 years. I mean, 22 years later, we need to still be experiencing that. And so you got to dig in. You got to drive in, and you got to have tenacity to go after that and not settle for the mundane and sameness.
I hope I don't cause confusion, but when I look at our home, I don't really want a Christian home. I want a Christ home, because Christian to me means you're adopting standards and activities. But I want Jesus to rule our home. Mm-hmm. I want us all, Steve, myself, our kids, pursuing Christ and seeing the resurrected Christ give us power to love, to forgive, to understand, to pray for each other. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan Edwards said that every home is a little church. Mm-hmm. And we kind of look at our home like that. It's a little church.
Liz, describe your devotional life together.
Okay.
What do you do and how do you do it? With seven kids, you got some that, you know, don't really understand it at all. You have those that are grown. I mean, when you're all together, how do you appeal to that range?
Right. Well, we started out gathering pretty much every day as a family through a hard situation we were in. I mean, we were overseas, and we had little baby Anna, our first one, who was 3 months old. And Steve and I thought, we need to gather in prayer for this challenging time we were in and read the Word. And we did that for about over a week. And it was so powerful. We just saw ourselves kind of go from one level of strength to a higher level just because we invited Jesus in our home. And when the challenging time was over, we thought, why are we going to stop this? And so we kept going. And so our kids have grown up sort of doing that through that challenging time that we launched off in that. And so I just say, everybody get your Bibles. And I'm not a super scheduled person. So when it fits in the day, we gather and we go through the scripture. We pick a book of the Bible. Right now we're doing the Gospel of John. And so we read a little part of the scriptures. My 11-year-old is learning like new words through the Bible. And the 7-year-old isn't quite reading yet, and she just sits there and listens. And it's just, they've grown up with it. They know this is part of what we do.
Well, the Bible used to be the primer for teaching children how to read. And I look at what we've missed on all of that. Liz, I want you to take us back to when you said you started praying together during a hard time. For some reason, and I think I know it's because it's so powerful, the enemy tries to separate couples from praying together. I don't know what it is, but I cannot tell you the number of people, myself included, who have the hardest time breaking that vulnerability or that just the awkwardness of praying together as a couple. Now, people are listening and thinking, well, you guys were missionaries and you're pastors, so it was super easy for you, right?
Well, not always.
What does it look like? How do you start?
Right. Well, I think you start sometimes with desperation. You know, if you get desperate, you're going to maybe seek God together. I know we felt that way at the time. And you know what's a great statistic is the couples that read the Word together and pray together, the divorce rate for those couples is 1 in 1,019.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's almost nobody.
Say that again.
The divorce rate for couples who read the Word and pray together regularly is 1 in 1,019.
My goodness.
Isn't that incredible? It's really hard to fight together when you're studying the Word and talking to the Lord.
That's right.
That's right. And you can't hide your stuff. You can't stay bitter very long when you know you have to pray with this person next to you.
This is true.
So we have our kids pray. Because we feel like if they can't pray at home, they're not going to pray at another group. And so we let them pray simple things and just to practice almost.
Sometimes you just have to jump in, don't you?
Right.
You know, standing there in the middle of the kitchen, putting your arms around somebody and just saying that prayer in their ear before they go out the door or something like that. This is not something formal where you're saying we have to be on our knees with our hands folded and recite it in King James English. You know, this is grab that child when they're going on their way out the door to the bus and just speaking that blessing over them.
And I think prayer has momentum. And when we are regularly praying and having a robust devotional life, you get momentum. And with that momentum, you can miss a day and you're okay. Because, you know, just like a car going, you know, say 75 miles an hour down the road and you take your foot off the pedal, you've got some momentum for a while. What's hard is the start and the stop constantly that people make where they don't ever get enough momentum. And I think when you get momentum with the kids in a devotional life, there's a lot more grace on it because they expect it. And then it's not as hard to gather each time because as the years go by, these habits of momentum have developed and you just do it.
Doctor, here's the million-dollar question that you always bring up. The woman who says, my husband doesn't lead.
It's not only the million-dollar question, but it's what frustrates women more than anything else, Christian women. They're doing their best. They're trying. Women are motivated. They go to the seminars frequently alone, And some of them go to church alone, but their husbands won't lead. And that gives her a very difficult dilemma, because she's either going to step in and do it or it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I do hope there are people listening right now who have that problem. And maybe I'm talking to the man, and maybe he will say, I really do need to be the one who brings us together. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandmother and my grandfather were at odds on this issue. And my grandfather was not going to have anything to do with God or the church. And he would say to my grandmother, and by the way, he died before I was born, so I never really had a chance to know him. But he would say to my grandmother, that's good for you. You do it. You take those kids. You get them to church. But don't involve me in it. And she just had that dilemma. What was she going to do? And she stepped in there and taught those kids what they needed to know. And she would gather them around. There were six children, five boys and one girl. And she would say to them, as my dad has told me this, she would say, if I lose one of you, it would have been better that I had never been born. That's the priority she gave to it. Mm. And and my grandfather found the Lord 2 weeks before he died. Mm. Mm. And she had prayed for him for 40 years. So sometimes a woman has to just go ahead and do it.
Absolutely.
I know there are some Christian teachers that say, wait for him. But if you do, I mean, the clock's running.
Absolutely.
That's right.
You know, something that my wife does is she lets me fail and doesn't beat me up. You know, if we start reading the Bible and then I get tired and I skip a day or two, she's not beating me over the head with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think sometimes men think their wives are more spiritually involved. They have a deeper relationship and they're not sure how to compete with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the grace atmosphere is what I hear you saying,
mm-hmm.
how important a grace atmosphere is. And I think a grace atmosphere brings joy. And a law atmosphere usually doesn't. Mm. And so you've got a grace atmosphere at home, Ryan, and that's really key. Mm. So it sounds like you have a freedom atmosphere, and I'd rather have that than somebody who's got it perfectly down and all their kids have memorized scripture perfectly and all these things. Not looking for pins for Sunday school. We're looking for a changed life that loves other people and loves the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mm-hmm. That's life. That's freedom.
I think we're talking about foundations, too. And when I think about our family, you know, I think we have the foundation of Christ, and then we have a building. And sometimes I think our building looks like the Leaning Tower of Pisa because we didn't do something right, or we, you know, somebody got their priorities messed up in a season. But it's still a building, and we're still all in it.
Yeah.
And that's important. And we're not looking for perfection. We're looking for Jesus constantly.
And we do like what Jonathan Edwards said, because if every home is becoming like a little church, and then Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If we're letting Christ build our homes, we really do believe that the gates of hell shall not take your kids out.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that we can trust that.
Mm. Well, Pastor Steve Holt and Liz, his wife, it's been a pleasure having you here today, and as people can tell, we've run up right to the end of our time. We're going to have to precipitously stop because we're going to be off the air, but we'll pick up right here next time. You live here in Colorado Springs, and you will be with us, right?
I will. Thank you. We will. Thank you.
Thanks for what you're doing to try to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to produce strong families, and that makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. Mm-hmm. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
And, of course, I add my personal thanks to you, Pastor Steve and Liz, for joining us today. Of course, I would highly recommend that you get a copy of Pastor Steve Holt's book, The God-Wild Marriage, A Roadmap to a Dangerously Fulfilling Love Life. Ryan, my husband, and I actually went through that book on a ski trip weekend this spring and found it wonderful. So you can go to drjamesdobson.org to get more information on that.
It's also available as an ebook too, for those that have a Kindle or a Nook or something something like that. Mm-hmm. Also at drjamesdobson.org, you can find a link to Pastor Steve's website. And there you can find out, again, more about his book, his personal blog, and his ministry to thousands here in Colorado Springs.
Including my family.
That's right. And they just opened a satellite campus right by my house.
See, they're growing and the Lord is blessing. Mm-hmm. Here in the close, quickly, I just do want to take a moment to remind you that Family Talk is a listener-supported ministry. And right now, here in the month of April, we have a matching grant program going on. So this is the perfect time to join with us in partnership for this ministry. Every amount you give will be doubled dollar for dollar.
It's amazing. We have such generous supporters. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to donate, you can do so at drjamesdobson.org or by giving us a call. Our number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. You can also donate via our Family Talk smartphone app or on our Facebook page as well.
Once again, thanks so much for being with us today. We hope we have helped you begin to strengthen your marriage. But do return next time as we'll continue this discussion with Pastor Steve Holt and his wife Liz right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.